Freak America, episode number
26.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Radio Freak America, how's it going? This is Rax, and fresh out of work, we've got Duel back on the line tonight. Say hey, man.
Compton, hey, Rax. I'm eating pizza, you don't mind, do you?
No, go ahead, man.
Thank you.
Oh, this is really good. Yes, this is a very professional show we have here, folks.
Dude, I just got home. Thankfully, I got home in time for the show. I'm starving. Actually, I had Subway on the way home, but it doesn't do it. It's not enough, so I'm going to wash down some cold pizza.
Yeah, food of the gods.
Yeah.
Food of the gods. Okay, well, we had lots of good feedback or lots of good response on the website from last week. People hitting up the site and everything. Awesome stuff.
If I'm correct.
Say what?
Record-breaking, if I'm correct.
Yeah, a couple of record-breaking days. Part of that, actually, too, I think, was after... in addition to putting the show up every week, we had a bunch of new pictures from Memes. So shouts to Memes for all the good info on the show last week and all those pictures. So I think people were digging on them. Which one do you like best?
The Great Satan.
The Great Satan? I thought you liked the copyright crazy one. That was pretty cool too.
Dude, that made me trip out, man. Made my eyes bug out.
Well, there you go. That's probably the desired effect, but. Anyway, so we covered a lot of politics and a little bit of tech stuff last week. This time we're gonna just do a 180 on that. Every pun intended, because that's my favorite drink, 180. But we're gonna flip it around. We're gonna do lots of tech and just a little bit of touch on the quasi political stuff in that tonight. But now, Duel, I talked about this a while back, and I remembered when I was getting my 180 at my local friendly neighborhood Circle K. As I'm in the checkout line, they had this little sign up there for all these prepaid cell phones. And I thought it was kind of interesting. They had, Verizon there with their free up plan. They had Altel. They had TracFone, which I've seen it before. I'm not really super familiar with. They had Virgin, like Virgin Records. You may have seen some of the wacko ads on TV for Virgin cell phones.
I have.
And then they had my favorite, which was VoiceStream. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it said VoiceStream. When I went in there today, it said T-Mobile, which is a company that's taking over VoiceStream or bought them out or whatever. So they had all those there as prepaid cell phone cards you could get. So there's a lot of choices out there.
All at a convenience store.
They also had Slingshot refill cards. They didn't have the CDs, but they did have the refill things you can buy for your Slingshot, which we both really like a lot. As an ISP, you're completely anonymous. They have no credit card numbers on you or anything. So that's a very good thing. That would be the hacker's choice, I guess, of ISPs if you need to do dial-up.
Yeah, I've had my Slingshot disc for a long time, and I've actually just used it on this trip for the first time, and I used the 1-800 number, and it worked well. Actually, once it worked well, and once it did not. Once it said it had hardware trouble, some trouble on their end, I'm assuming. Other than that, it worked great. I'm very happy with Slingshot. That's unbelievable. So there was, four or five different prepaid?
Well, I think there was six. There were six different plans.
Six different plans. Now, if I'm correct, you can get the cards, the minutes, and you can get hardware there. You can also get phones, correct?
Yeah, you can get the phones there. They also had Cricket, but that wasn't on one of the prepaid things. But
right. I might have to take one on my phone. I dropped my phone.
Oh, nice move.
It exploded. Totally. Every part just blew off my phone, and it has not been working well since. It rings, it'll ring, it'll vibrate. I cannot hear anything, though. I can't hear anybody. I cannot hear tones. And I was getting really frustrated, totally frustrated. I was chilling at a Village Inn, right, eating breakfast. And I was so mad, so I just started, waiting for my table, and I started banging it on the floor. And son of a bitch, the thing didn't start working, right? So this is my high-tech hacker way to fix my phone. I bang it on the floor, and it worked. Actually, it stopped working again, so I'd bang it on my hand or bang it on another, something, and it starts to work. So never
give up.
I don't think you can fix something by banging on it with a hammer.
Either that or duct tape, too. That usually works.
That's right. Duct tape and hammer, so fix anything.
There you go. My buddy Feedback and I went to did some war driving this week. We got that. He picked up that Orinoco gold card and the antenna.
You mean that kit?
That kit.
Uh-huh.
Works like a charm. The only thing, I wish they had two of those little pigtails, because it's so tiny and delicate, you know they're going to break at some point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went war driving. I'll tell the other part in a minute, but we went back down around that one particular area that we've hit a couple of times, and it wasn't to be found at all, so they may have disconnected it altogether.
Oh, really?
But anyway, once we got it going, and it was amazing, just leaving out from my place, we made it not even all the way around the block. We had 7 access points. The long and the short of it, we drove all over the metropolitan area for about 3 hours. The long and the short of it was we had just about 300 access points.
300?
300. Now, the only thing, I wish we would have kept track of how many miles so we could say access points per mile. That's a new APMs. It's a new, measurement.
That's right. You created a new unit. Right on.
But now, the interesting part was out of those roughly 300, there's maybe about 25 that had encryption turned on.
Now, that's a horrible, horrible ratio. Most of the access points I encountered were encrypted. You know, of course, downtown with big companies, a lot of the areas I went around near my hotel were, you know, industrial areas with, again, big companies that, you know, apparently know what they're doing. And most were, you know, just internet access points with encryption turned on. The ones that weren't used, thankfully. Of course, I do nothing malicious. I know you don't, Rax. You know, I just,
I honestly,
I just do a little surfing, nothing private, of course. Yeah, it's very scary. That scares me because you're in a much larger metropolitan area. You would think there would be a little more, at least a little more sophistication, you know, a modicum amount of security consciousness.
You know, it was interesting. We went past a couple of high schools, and both the high schools had WEP turned on. A couple other observations here. It appeared to be, and I just from a quick glance as we were looking at them, it appeared to be that the most prevalent one was the Linksys. Apple was probably about one of the least. There was a few that, there was Cabletron. There was Advanced Multimedia Devices or something was another one, and a few others that I haven't heard of. So that was one of the things. The other thing is just the... most of them, a lot of them had the default SSID. I think the most original or the most amusing was called Doggy.
Doggy?
Doggy. That was the name of the SSID. Like, someone had their name on another one and everything else, but...
That's smart.
Yeah.
my social security number is my SSID number.
Yeah,
I found one that was Ernest P. Bass. That was the most amusing one I found, but...
Well, you know, I thought of something, and I don't know if we may have talked about this before, but in terms of network security and that, there has been a case that was tried, and it's, you know, jurisprudence, it's case law now, that if you have a message on your computer that basically says authorized users only, it's like putting up a no trespassing sign. So I came up with the idea for the SSID, make your SSID say authorized users only.
Yeah, and I would say so.
Well, but the thing is, from a legal standpoint, a lot of people used to put, welcome to XYZ company computer, or welcome to, state university computing services. If you say welcome, what they can argue is that, well, they said, I was welcome here. If you say authorized users only, if you go beyond that, you've been posted notice, you've been given notice that it's for authorized users only, and you're at your own risk doing it after that.
Yeah, but how would you even prove anything? I mean, what are they going to get from you? Your Mac? I don't know.
No.
What you've got is their internal IP. They can't track you by IP. You know, you're sitting in a parking lot. You can even spoof your Mac from, correct?
Yes, you can.
So, I don't know.
But the thing being, it's saying that, you're basically given notice that authorized users are the only ones that are supposed to be allowed on the system.
That's accounting the perpetrator is physically caught, cop drives up to your car where you got it, your big eyes, deer in headlights,
But,
like I said, if you want just even, like I said, a modicum of security on your network, turn on encryption. And that still doesn't mean there's no such thing as 100% security. All that does, and we talk about this, it just adds delay. Because people can still get on your network.
Right, you can use
standard web encryption.
You can use AirSnort, and there's articles about that. I'll see if I can dig them up and maybe post links up to them.
Yeah, you know what I want to do, Rax? I want to compile a huge, just like me did with cookie spamming, compile a huge resource for 802.11b. Links, articles, just every everything where people can go and say, you know, hey, I'm looking for this, you know, describe the links, what you can find here, and put it up on the site. I'd really like to do that. Because I think interest is only growing, you know. The popularity is exploding, and the fun is unimaginable.
Yeah, there's a lot that can be done with it. And I want to stress this point again, and you kind of were alluding to it there, Duel, that even though web can be broken, you know, relatively easy, I mean, you just run AirSnort or something to do that, and you sniff enough packets, and you'll eventually be able to break it.
Yeah.
Locks can be picked, given enough time. The fact that locks can be picked doesn't mean that everyone says, oh, well, locks are useless, there's no sense locking my car or locking my home. People still lock their cars and people still lock their homes.
Right.
By the same token, web can be, given enough time, web can be cracked. That doesn't mean that you should not turn web on. You should turn it on if you want to, you know, if you don't want to be the public telco, you know, if you don't want to provide access for other people. I choose to leave mine on, but if you don't want to provide access for other people, you really should turn on web.
Right.
Just like you lock your door.
Exactly. And if you're a sysadmin and you've got more than just this one access point to worry about, a wireless access point to secure, then you need to consider everything. You need to consider the entire system, from physical security all the way to your wireless. You need to consider humans. I'm at this hotel. By the way, this hotel gets a lack of security award this week. Yeah, I thought, you know what, I'm going to interject this right now. The lack of security award goes to the hotel I'm staying in. A friend of mine, you know, we're talking about, oh, yeah, you're not going to get anything. And I said, well, so I'll get in your voicemail. I'll get a key to your room, for crying out loud. And sure enough, I got the pin to his voicemail, and I gave it to him. He said, how'd you do that? How'd you get that? And it astounded me that he didn't realize how I got it. I mean, of course, what did I do? I social engineered, right? The human element.
Right.
That's the weak point. So you got to consider, utilize the security you have built into your products, right? Custom installs, use that web, and also make sure the people in your organization know what to do, and they're not the weakness. You got to consider everything. You have to. I'm ranting now. Am I ranting?
Yeah, that's okay. That's why it's called Rant Radio, where we're broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
So it's okay.
Okay, good.
Keep going.
So yeah, Rax is right. You know, if you got it, use it. If you want, you know, I'm like Rax. Mine's open for everybody. You got no one to blame but yourself, really. You know. Really.
And now, and for anyone else too, just listening out there, in case you're curious, I do leave it open for you know, for people that know that it's here or whatever. I also do other measures to prevent other people from getting back into my computers.
I was just gonna say
I don't leave my computers wide open. I leave my access point wide open, but my computers are not.
Right. You've been diligent in securing the rest of your network.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, continuing on the war driving vein too. There was a new version of NetStumbler out. That's what we were using this weekend. Great little program.
What were the additions?
You know, they had it in the README, and I really don't remember, since that was the first time I used it. I can't tell you what the new things were, but works very well. They even had a feature. It could get very annoying very quickly, but it had the signal to noise ratio, and it output that as a MIDI audio.
Ew.
So it was kind of weird, but
yeah.
We only left it on for a minute or two. Feedback got kind of tired of it.
Yeah, I bet. By the way, I realized what the asterisks mean behind the channel. That's the access. I feel really stupid. That's the access point you're on at the time, so I feel pretty silly.
Well, we found there was a couple that had more than one access point on the same line, like channel 3 and channel 7 or something. So I don't know if those were two access points that were bridged together, which is my theory.
Like they're covering an area, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh, think
and,
so.
And we did also, amongst the driving around, Duel, you'll maybe recognize the area by me describing it, but in the north part of the metropolitan area where there's a lot of, like, airport and high-tech kind of stuff.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
There was one access point there. I mean, it must have been a series of things, or someone had something up on a big antenna, but we were getting that for miles, in and out of everywhere.
What? Miles?
Miles around. We were just sneaking up and down the streets, and it was, you know, NetStumbler keeps them chronologically, right, when you hit the access point.
Right.
So, you know, something 10 minutes ago that we had this one particular access point kept showing up. It kept lighting up.
No kidding.
So that was pretty interesting as well.
Ooh, I would like to, like, find that one, like, actually find the antenna and see what they're doing.
Well, the next part of that is, and as you mentioned, as you know, with NetStumbler, you get the access points and all that, and you, unless you make a note, you really can't tell where you're at. I ordered my my GPS tonight.
You did?
Yep. Ordered on eBay a Garmin E-Trex Legend, I think it is. It's the aquamarine colored one. $159 with the it's the unit itself plus the PC data cable plus a cigarette lighter power cable.
With 12 volt, that's a good deal.
Yeah. So we got that all ordered. I also got myself this week from Fry's a new 300-watt power inverter, my 150-watt. Even though it was just a laptop, every time you put on the brakes or something, the power inverter little low-voltage warning would go on, so that got to be a pain, so I got a bigger one for that.
Good.
And well, I'm hoping to get it this weekend because the 31st is National War Driving Day.
Yay! Right on.
So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we used to, as we were driving around, literally stumbling on them before with my USB one sticking out the window. You know, we would get a few, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, this was like shooting fish in a barrel driving around with that external antenna and nut stumbler.
That's got to be so, so nice. Well, yeah, can you believe, I mean, look how far we've come. I mean, from doing just what you said, sticking this little USB adapter out the window and using the client software, right, to use a nut stumbler, soon to be using Kismet, hopefully.
Well, yeah, NetStumbler and GPS for me. No, but that's that makes it interesting when you upload it to some of these databases. You know, it gives you that. But there's been a few places. I'm sure they've made things available in the spirit of open source. But where it actually graphs it out on an aerial photograph, and it shows the relative strengths of the signals shown in, you know, colored clouds over this area. So it's kind of interesting stuff. So I'll be digging into that in a little while as well.
I cannot wait. Okay, you know what? The last two shows have just been war driving specials.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, yeah. I cannot wait till I get home, back in my lab. I've got so much I want to do. First of all, it feels like the world's passing me by. Right, the technological world is leaving me behind. I cannot wait to get back to the lab.
Yeah, so it's like three. Well, it sounds like Dexter's Laboratory. But anyway, it's been 3 weeks you've been gone. So there's a KDE 3.0.3 is released. And the 3.1 beta is out there now. And of course, I got to turn this up as we do it. But there is a new version of Mozilla 1.1.
Mozilla, I love you.
It's lots of little fixes here and there. Now there's something else I stumbled onto. I think you played a little bit with in another browser, but it's mouse gestures.
Yeah, I used it in Opera. That's pretty cool.
So basically, folks, what Mouse Gestures is, you load this, not exactly a plugin, but a little add-in for Mozilla. It looks like, if you're familiar with the Palm Pilot and the graffiti language, like to go forward in your browser history, you click from a point and move the mouse pointer anywhere on the screen, you move it to the right, and that takes you forward. Or if you go click and move it to the left, that takes you back. So there's a whole series of little symbols that you can do that you never have to go up into the toolbar to do things. And I find it very, very handy. Open a new tab, close the window, minimize the window. It's very good stuff. It's been out there for a while. Opera's had it. I even found there's some add-ins for Windows. I didn't see anything for Linux yet, but it'd be interesting if, like, KDE would incorporate that in just the whole... just the whole K environment would be great, that you'd have that available in everything. But that's a lot of fun. So I really suggest you do that if you go to MozDev, MozDev.org, or just drill down in Mozilla and look for mouse gestures. And they had another item I added. I'm not quite as enchanted with this one, but it's called Radial Menus.
And describe them.
When you right-click on something in Mozilla, it brings up this little donut-looking kind of gray donut. On there are a series, or around this gray donut, are a series of little icons. And if you put your mouse pointer over that particular icon, a little label pops up. So, you know, save target as, open in new window, all the typical things you would see from the right-click menu are there in an iconic view.
So it's just a, Neverwinter
Nights?
Yeah, exactly. The Neverwinter Nights. Is it like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Now, it only appears to be one level, whereas the Radial Menus and Neverwinter Nights were two levels deep. But it's kind of interesting just in general, I think, with the mouse gestures and these Radial Menu things that, you know, people are looking beyond the standard point-and-click kind of interface. I mean, we've had that around literally for 30 years now, if you go all the way back to Xerox and their computers.
Right.
You know, so it's great that people are delving a little bit deeper and coming up with new ways to do things with that.
Yeah, I love reading the Slashdot articles about the, you know, next generation of, you know, GUIs. will we someday get to the point of Johnny Mnemonic, you know, with the gloves and moving around like a mime, you know, crazy with goggles on? You know, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, or there was even in Minority Report, the one with Tom Cruise, and it had some actual kind of interesting interface where they had like a data glove, but they were looking at the video and everything else, all the screens just kind of looked like it was floating in free space, and they'd point and gesture on things. Actually, I don't think he even had any gloves. We just gesture at these things.
Yeah, I love those transparent windows.
Yeah, that thing
I want
was,
that on my desktop.
That was one of the best part of the whole movie, I think.
Yeah, it was. Some cool GUI designer worked in Minority Report.
But you know, the interesting thing, everything else is high tech and all these new materials, and they built that Lexus Maglev car, you know, in 3 minutes or whatever. But did you notice the little report that came out, those little balls? That was wood. It was laser carved and etched it, but it was wood. I wonder
why.
That's
right. That was because the grain made it totally unique.
Oh.
Yeah, the wood grain.
Oh. Well, I was always curious why that why they did it with that. But
that is why.
Hey, changing gears here a little bit, we're going to see if we can get a guy named Zapperlink on the phone.
Special guest, baby.
And Zapperlink emailed off to us and said he wanted to talk about something. And if you want to do that at some point too, folks, please do let us know. We'll see if we can hook things up. Just email either rax@oldschoolfreak.com or duel@oldschoolfreak or email both of us. We'll see what we can do. And that also goes for you international listeners. We talked about this a little while back. We'd love to hook up with someone internationally.
I'm glad you brought that up. There's a guy who posted, again, on the HackerMind message board. His name's 101, and he's from, Ireland. And he wanted to find any hackers or freaks in Ireland, and unfortunately, nobody posted. I mean, it's an American board. I mean, it'd be pretty tough for another Irish person to, you know, actually pop on there. But I'm going to email him and see if we can get him on the show, because I want to hear about Ireland's phone system, from payphones to the telcos. So hopefully that will be coming up, listeners.
And, even just kind of the scene in general, too, would be good.
Yeah, definitely.
See what's
definitely.
Going on. Okay, Duel, I'm going to flash the hook here and see if we can get Zapper on.
Bring him on, baby.
And we will, of course, edit out the DTMF tones.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Zapper, here we go. We got Duel on the other line, and
hey,
we are...
Hey, what's up? Long time, man.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, can I call you Z?
You can call me whatever you want, man.
Right on. It's one syllable. That's why I like that.
Yeah, see, Duel has kind of a, you know, a simplistic thought pattern. The one syllables work well.
So what are you going to talk about tonight, Zapperlink? And I'm very happy you came on the show.
What I was going to be discussing is the recent article Washington Post posted on their website that was also mirrored by PacStorm. And it was regarding NASA working hand-in-hand to try to re-terrace mines by using biotechnology.
Okay, now how technical did this article get, first of all?
It didn't get real technical in the fact that I explained exactly how it does it. It says it's going to read the heart waves and the brain waves of the person who's passing through and basically measured up against a database that... either rings out terrorists or rings out criminals. It was vague in certain aspects where I'm sure privacy is being, you know, kind of excluded out of that whole little entry they did.
I was going to say, now it's interesting too. I'm just pulling this up now. NASA issued a press release that's basically saying that they were asking their people to think outside the box. They don't have the technology available. So they're starting to deny this kind of thing, which I think is probably typical. Even if they did have this technology, of course they wouldn't admit to it. But they're said, quote, "Our scientists were asked to think outside the box with regards to ideas that could aid the nation in the war on terrorism," and that's what they're doing. But you know, they're going to deny it first of all, even if they had it. But I don't know. Do either of you guys think the state of technology is to that point?
Okay, no, they have the technology. All right, you know what? All right. Definitely, you're the special guest. I'm going to let you talk about it first before I start crapping on this. So please, now, first of all, what do you think about it? What's your gut reaction when you read this?
My gut reaction is, where the hell did they get the database for the criminal minds? I mean,
Don't you know they save all those serial killers and everything, and they save all their brains and they do research on it.
That's right. They chop them out and chop electrodes into them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when they get on a plane, I mean, they're going to be measuring it against brainwaves that people are when they get on the plane, not, like, before the plane or after the plane.
But seriously,
but when they're getting on. So how are they going to measure what the brainwave and the heart rate is when a criminal is getting on the plane if they don't have any database record of criminals getting on planes or terrorists getting on planes? I mean,
that's
it,
right.
Makes you wonder where the database is coming from.
Yeah, what the hell are they thinking? Okay, now, all right, I'm going to say it right now. This is a pseudoscience. This is just like polygraph testing. This is a bunch of crap, okay? You're dead on, Zepperlin. They don't have databases of terrorists' minds, you know, their brainwaves, their minds' activities. You know, if you're and not to mention, if you're a trained terrorist, maybe you can calm your mind. You know, maybe you're a terrorist that practiced Zen Buddhism for a while, and you can, you know, totally calm your entire body. So that's the first thing. It's a pseudoscience, first of all.
Yeah.
Second, are you, you know, I'm a, you know, average, you know, I'm Joe Flyer, you know, I'm rolling onto the plane, and I walk through the, you know, the Star Trek, you know, type gate that's scanning my brain waves. Am I going to feel violated?
Absolutely, and the thing is what you mentioned just a minute ago is, if you know any firefighter, they'll be able to tell you, how do you pass that firefighter test? Well, your heart rate has to be at a specific rate, right?
Right.
When you pass that test, well, all the firefighters know that. All you have to do is ground down for 5 seconds and bam, your heart rate's down.
There you go. Yeah, no kidding. So already you've got a way around this test. Again, you know, honestly, I don't know if I would feel violated. I mean, sure, you beat my pulse rate and, you know, my brain, you know, my electrical brain activity. Okay, fine. But honestly, this is a new question now. This is this is new ground. You brought up a great, great subject, Zepperlink. Is that a violation of your privacy? I am monitoring your heart rates repetitiously without you knowing. Are you invading my privacy? Are you violating my personal space? What do you guys think about that? I think, I don't know. This is a new thing. They're gonna monitor your eye movement, you know? Oh, his eyes are, they're moving a lot, you know? No, don't be looking at my eyes. You know, what's going to happen in the future? We were talking about Minority Report. This just smacks of Minority Report big time.
Yeah, it does. It hits it real hard because the fact that I also had a secondary question when it comes to that machine. Hey, I'm 65 years old. I'm passing through. I think I got a little pacemaker on. Bam! That thing's going to just fry the hell out of that little pacemaker. Or not necessarily fry it, but that thing's probably giving off that electric pulse too as well. So what is it going to do to those charts now?
That's right. Who knows what it's going to do to people? You know, I heard something about kids in Japan. You know, kids that played next to power lines a lot, lived next to power lines, had like triple the cases of cancer. You know, what if this is going to cause all these cancer? You know, it's. The article, it was not technical, was it? I mean, of course it can't get too technical, but did they even discuss basic technologies like components that we're going to use, and even names or acronyms, anything like that?
No.
I don't remember seeing that.
No, they weren't. They weren't using that. Their big key word of the whole thing is biotechnology. I guess that's the future of our health technology, is biochemistry and biotechnology and whatnot.
By the way, that really ties in with our opening music. We had Mozilla and Godzilla, and the opening music was Sepultura with Biotech is Godzilla. So it really ties in well to the show.
Oh, very nice, Rex. Very nice. Did you plan that, by the way?
No, that was like a pre-crime thing.
Scanning your brainwaves.
Yeah, well, I was scanning what you guys were thinking about talking in the show, and I came up with the music.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I feel violated.
Yeah, well.
Now, here's something that will even hit you harder. Is we consider privacy in this issue, correct? Well, the same record that we're thinking brain waves, heart waves, well, we already have this type of stuff. Like, occasionally doctors will note your pulse when you go in for a checkup. Well, that database, that information is on a database at some hospital. Who knows, it could be on the net.
Right.
I mean, so who's saying that this database of criminal records cannot be accessed as, like, a quote-unquote health standard? Who says that I can't adjust this machine, or even a person sitting there, a little security card device, or not security card, security guy, sits there and tweaks with the machine, he could easily just let somebody pass through.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Or
this opens up so many questions like that.
You know, we've seen it on movies enough too. You have someone tapped into the system, just as, you know, your favorite terrorist, the terrorist that's on your team, right? You're part of the terrorists. You tap into their computer system, just as that person is walking through, you send it a fake signal or someone else's brain signal or pulse or whatever, and they walk through scot-free. You know?
What was that break?
Say what?
You disappeared for a little bit on my line.
Might be the Vox cutting in and out. You still there, Zapper?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. But anyway, so, you know, what's to say, as we've seen in movies and that before, what's to say that can't happen? And if you start putting these things in, that actually brings up another good point, Zapperlink, is that, you know, talking about all these things with databases, and right now, all, under the auspices of, quote, the USA Patriot Act, unquote, and Patriot, by the way, is an acronym. It has nothing to do with being patriotic to your company, country, excuse me. But that was a Freudian slip, by the way, because
I was going to say that was Freudian.
Because the country is becoming one big company. It's becoming
right.
Corporate USA. But anyway, that's a whole other story. We said we're not going to get too political on the show today. But as you completely lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, talk about tying the databases together, right? So you've got this database of, as Zapperlink was saying, you know, your heart rate and your normal brain waves, and now they tie that in with you know, various other databases of criminal activity and this and that and the other, which you know, the law enforcement incorporated, all the federal and local and all the you know, kind of gray super spook kind of things want to tie all this stuff together. And for any one of us out there who's dealt with computers and dealt with data, or specifically databases, you can get lots of information. You can derive all kinds of things if you can start pulling that together. So, yeah, let's say you start cross-referencing criminal records with the fact that this person had, you know, X kind of brainwave activity and everything else, and you start doing profiling. Forget racial profiling, buddy. You know, they're going to start doing profiling to the nth level that it's going to make it... it's driving me nuts. It's getting scary.
You know what, dude? See, that is... You're right. That is hitting me, like, really hard right now after what Rex just said. That is really, really scary.
No, what's even worse is he's exactly right. In the Washington Post, right there in the thing, it says criminal background and credit information. What the hell is credit information?
I have no idea.
They'll keep track of what you're charging, and they'll see as you're charging it. You know, as you're buying that, what do they use for the Oklahoma City? As you're buying all that manure and diesel fuel or whatever,
right, to make ammo.
To make explosives. They'll see what your brainwave activity was like, and they see if that matches a brainwave activity of terrorists, and then the big black silent helicopters will come and get you.
That's right. Yeah. Next, they'll put in your shopping habits. If you don't buy things on the day after Thanksgiving, you're a terrorist.
Or here's even a worse one. Hey, say you like got bad credit. Hey, you owe like thousands of dollars to credit people after you. Why would I ever waste your time trying to check? Damn, bam, you cross an airport security, come arrest you, dead host credit fraud.
That's right. Oh, man. And you know what? I can see now. I can see all the corporations say, well, hey, you know, can we have this data? Can we use that? Can we, you know, if we pay you some money, can we just go ahead and apprehend them ourselves with our corporate police, you know? Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm a little far-fetched, aren't I?
It's getting scary. I think we got to change the subject here a little bit.
We're getting a little tails from the after now, I think.
I'm getting freaked out myself here.
Okay, Zapper, I've always wanted to ask you this. Now, we've only met once, and it was a very cool experience. Hope to see you at the next meeting, by the way.
Actually, I have it planned to have that day off, so I should be sitting there.
Yes.
An hour early.
Right on. I'll hopefully get there early, too. Where did you get your handle?
Where did I get my handle?
Yeah.
Well, that's always been a story that I even questioned myself with. There's no definitive reason behind my name. I have to admit that I was kind of into, you know, those tomato images of a hack. I had to think of something, you know, cool, something aggressive. So,
yeah.
And I was thinking, people at that time when I got my name, which was, I almost believe, 9 years ago,
uh-huh.
or something like that, that a lot of the DOS attacks was going on and whatnot. So I saw, you know, links and then Zapperlink, and then it clicked in, and then I've used it ever since. I haven't changed my handle or anything. So.
That's cool. That's very cool. And well, I'm not going to go into Rax's. This is like a quintuplet entendre.
Mine is multifaceted, but
like you, Rax.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. speaking of the 2600 meetings, you know, that's the first Friday of every month coming up. So we've got that coming up, not this Friday, this is the following Friday. Duel and I have been talking about trying to get things revitalized in our area. And picked up a lot of good ideas from there was a session at the 2600 about, you know, how to run a hacker meeting, basically. And, what's the guy's name from the SLC?
Grifter,
yeah, Grifter, and there was another dude there from L.A., and they had a lot of good ideas. And just briefly, I'm going to pass these on to anyone else out there. We're going to start trying to implement them in our area. And basically, for those listening, I mean, you can probably derive it from it now. You know, we have the links to the AZ 2600 meeting. It's in, some of us are out of Phoenix, Arizona. We're actually in different areas around the wonder of the Internet and the telephone. You know, we can call all over, and it seems like we're all together in one room, but anyway, a couple of ideas being that we're going to, you know, definitely keep the social aspect of things going, but we're going to start doing talks on various topics. So not this coming meeting, because we won't have enough chance to publicize it, but we're going to start having scheduled talks, have it up on the website, and even doing things like putting half-page little flyers in the 2600 magazines in the bookstores around so people will know about the meeting out there. And we're going to start giving talks on various things. So probably the talk we'll give in October is about a subject we talked a lot about tonight, 802.11b and Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to present a paper, a simple paper, but I'll present that. I'd like to present... Man, this is killing me. I got all this stuff. I want to share it with everybody at this meeting, but I'll hold off, I guess.
Yeah, I think...
Max, God, no, you're right, because this will make the meeting huge.
Yeah.
But I want to present a little paper. I want to present stuff I found. What are you going to do, Rex?
Well, I was gonna talk about some of that as well. Also, another one that we can do on, obviously you can get into religious wars when you start talking about your favorite distro, but one of the things we've been playing with, both Duel and I, is Nopix. So I think that would make a good... a good presentation as well.
Well, let's do Nopix this time. We got to talk about something. I want to start it now. I want to do a little presentation, even if it's a short one, like demonstrate the use of Nopix in wireless, or, you know, what you can do, what Nopix includes, even a small one.
Well, I guess we could do something like that. I mean, considering some of the meetings, and that's one of the things we found, and maybe the listeners in your area, you found the same type of thing, that, some meetings you go to, we've had 12 people, some we've had 20 people, some we've had 2 people. So I think if we get a published kind of schedule of what's coming up in the different sessions, and once people see that there's other than just a bunch of people sit around BSing, which is still a lot of fun and there'll still be time for that, but once we start doing that, hopefully we can get the word spreading out a little bit more.
Yeah, and I want to urge people who are on the fringe. If you don't consider yourself a hacker, you're fairly adept at computers, you've got the same type of views as most hackers do, please come to the meeting, man. I mean, I would love it. I want any and all views. If you want to come to learn, like, man, I want to learn, how to use Linux. I want to learn how to, even if it's small Linux on your laptop, come to the meeting, man. We'll help you out. It'll be a great time. There's no elitism, there's no, meme, put, in color on the site, the ego is the devil, there's none of that there. None.
And it's also, too, that's part of the thing that it's, it's for being listed as a 2600 meeting, it has to be done in a public place. There's nothing to hide. We're gonna talk about wireless security, and if you're a corporate IT type, you ought to be listening and reading and finding out about these things too. Because guess what? There can be people with other types of motivations other than just wanting to find a hotspot. People might want to be checking into your network, so you really need to know about those types of things as well.
Yeah.
And
tell me your opinion on this subject being having. Well, I would say formal/informal presentations, not too formal, we're not going to have PowerPoint presentations, but, a little more formal presentations at the meetings. Would you be interested in that? Would you give one? Would you like to hear something like that?
Absolutely. Actually, I've been working busily I actually run a site called Moomoo Security, no joke.
Uh-huh.
And
goes well with Zapperlink, by the way.
Yeah.
What is that again? What was it so we can get it to put for the link? Moo Moo Security?
Yeah, I'll actually send you guys the links and whatnot.
Okay.
And I'm actually developing just small PowerPoint presentations, basic networking, to teach those people that are always running around, you know, hey, how do I hack this, how do I hack that, instead of just saying, you know, the standard, that's not hacking, or this is how you do it, hand them a few toolkits and bye-bye, and it's, you know, the standard image that people are betraying these days. I've thought that maybe giving these kids these presentations, maybe kind of fooling them into, you know, seeing that instead of going towards the media-influenced hacker, maybe moving towards showing them, well, hey, this is the networking, this is, you know, hey, why don't you learn this?
That is a genius.
That's great.
That is quite a genius. Now, are you going to have something like this ready for the next meeting?
There's a very high possibility, although the one that I have worked on right now is very basic. It's the OSI model. It gives diagrams. It's just very general.
No, that's phenomenal. And you know, and that links in right with, you know, my earlier statement, hey, if you're on the fringe, if you want to learn, come to the meeting. Because there's people out there who want you to learn, who want to propagate, you know, a good, you know, what hackers are really about. And
that's part of the thing as well. I mean, the quote-unquote hacker ethic, and if you go back to the original use of the term, and I kind of said it in the previous episode, if you don't use the vulgar use of it, like, you know, a criminal breaking into computers, that I consider is the vulgar use of the term. But if you go back to the original term, it's people figuring out clever ideas and sharing that information. It's sharing that information. That knowledge is part of the thing we call the show, Radio Freak America, you know, free K, free knowledge. We want to share that information. We're not going to use it, you know, and keep all these little secrets in that. We want to let other people know so they can grow and learn and think and come up with cool ideas too.
Yeah, and if a guy like Zapperlink, who at the first meeting I met him, you know, told us how to DOS the Linksys router with Nmap, you know, does not have the ego. It takes the time to teach somebody about the OSI model. That's got to tell you right there the quality of people that really are hackers.
And absolutely, we the meetings accept people from a wide variety. I mean, we've heard of FBI agents or who we think are FBI agents at the meetings, and yet we still take the time to, I mean, even teach them a thing or two, and maybe bring a better influence to them as well. So it's not something that you have to go into a dark room, a dark corner, and tell dark, dirty secrets about computers. It's, you know.
Dark, dirty secrets. I like that. I like that a lot.
The soft white underbelly of computer networking, huh?
That's right. Hey, man, Rax, tell us about stickers. I don't know how much time we have, but we gotta do the housekeeping, dude.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left here, but finally, people, believe it or not, Srini came through. I'll give him a plug. We'll link off to him too. But anyway, it's unamerican.com and stickernation.com.
I don't know if we need to go that far. We could.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. He came through. You know, I called him. Finally, got a hold of him. Said, "Look, dude, I ordered this 2 months ago. You know, I didn't get it in time for the conferences." He said, "Well, when he called, he says, hey, good news. It finally shipped from the factory." He says, I said, "Great. I needed them 2 months ago." So he credited me back my money, and the stickers got sent anyway. So here's what we're going to do, folks. We've been talking about this a little bit, but Duel and I were talking. I mean, you know, we don't want to wallpaper our rooms with these stickers. So we're going to keep a few to give away at the 2600 meetings and that. But we came up with the idea that for a buck, we're going to make these stickers available to you, the listeners, and we're going to take all the proceeds and we're going to donate it to the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And that is the organization with all these white hat lawyers that go and defend, you know, things like the 2600 magazine and the Ford Motor and DCSS case. And basically all these, they take the opposite side of all these big corporations that are going after quote-unquote hackers, and they defend them because Lord knows, somebody has to. So we're going to take the proceeds from the sales, and we're going to give it to the EFF.
That means, listeners, no profits.
We're not going to go out and buy beer with it or anything else. You know, we're going to pay for the stamps, we're going to pay for the envelopes, everything else after that we're going to send off to the EFF.
Now, I may have missed the number, but how many of these stickers do you have?
I got 500 in total, so we'll keep I don't know, maybe a couple hundred for passing out and giving around that. So we'll have a few hundred, maybe like 300 or so, and we'll have the information up on the website. We'll hopefully try to get up by this weekend. Send it to a P.O. box. By the way, we will not keep your address. We're not looking to bait you and find out where you live and turn that over to the FBI. That's not our motivation. Send a buck, you know, money order. I hate to text it by cash.
Put a dollar cash in the mail. It'll get there just fine.
And if you're going to do that, folks, fold up a piece of paper and stick it in the envelope so someone can't look through it and see. But anyway, send that. You know, we will buy the stamp, we'll stick it in an envelope, and we'll send it back to you, and the money is going to go for a good cause.
Right.
And they're about 6 inches by 1.25 inches high, so fits nicely on your laptop. Heck, it could almost fit on the back of a PDA. But stick them around. Let people know about the show. It says Radio Freak America, Technology, Privacy, Freedom, and then www.oldschoolfreak.com.
Oh, yeah.
So after months of talking about it and hinting about them, I wanted to give them away at the conferences. Actually came up with a type of sticker to give away at DEF CON, so I saw people putting those out. We've been spreading those around, but these are a couple of grades higher in the cool level meter.
Yeah, and not to mention it's going to a really, really good cause. I mean, what better way to show, you know, not to mention show that you dig the show and you want people to turn, you know, you want to turn people onto the show, but you know that you bought the sticker and just slapped it on your laptop, and that some of your money is going to go to some, you know, honestly some poor hacker that's getting beat on by the government. So you're actually doing something, you know. We're actually doing something. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. What else was there?
And about the last thing I had as we kind of start to put a wrap up on the show was another one of those evil things. Speaking of, you know, corporate America and all that kind of good stuff.
So that was all the housekeeping.
That's about it. I think we got everything else done.
All right, good.
Is the whole idea of the people that own the algorithm for MP3s want to start charging people 75 cents per decoder?
What?
So they're gonna want. They want to get a license. They want to get everyone who's using any kind of MP3 decoder. Basically, that means Winamp or Real Player or anything else in, under the sun that can play an MP3. They want to get a 75 cents royalty for that. Now, initially, they were just gonna ask for the programs that created it to have it pay a royalty. Now they're asking for all the players. So one of the fallouts of this already is Red Hat has dropped all MP3 support from their next build.
Seriously,
and you're gonna find other people starting to do things, but you know, similar to that. But there's an alternative, and we're gonna look at making our show available in this, and maybe we'll even go back and re-encode the old version.
I know what you're gonna say.
Into what am I gonna say, Duel?
Ogg Vorbis
format, which is a completely open, completely free, royalty-free, patent-free algorithm for
higher quality, if I'm correct,
and higher quality as well. MP3's been out for quite a while, so you know, obviously, you know, people looking at that getting better ideas, they can come up with a better formula later on. So we're going to look at starting to switch things over to the Ogg format as well here at Radio Freak America.
And don't worry, you Windows users, Winamp full version has plugins for Ogg. Have you used Ogg, Z?
Z, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Have you played with Ogg Vorbis yet?
Actually, no, I haven't.
I have. I listened to a BBC broadcast with Winamp. Listened to their Ogg broadcast, and it sounded great. I would love to convert the show to Ogg and have it Ogg only. I mean, because everybody can still listen to it. Ooh, I don't know if Ram Radio can stream that.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, you know, we'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like I hate when they do this. You know, they do that. You know, they kind of surreptitiously keep the fact that they have a patent on it down. They wait till the standard becomes, you know, widely adopted, and they say, oh, by the way, we're going to start charging for this.
You think they really, really connived? They really, really did that?
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, look how long have you been using MP3s, guys?
Years.
I got everything on my hard drive under MP3. I don't even use Wave anymore.
Are you serious? Well,
I'm serious.
Yeah, well.
So there you go. You know, I mean, everybody's, it's like letting the fish get the bait, wait till they swallow it, wait till the fish swallows it, then yank them in on that hook.
Hey, you know, did you know that I had a patent on ASCII text?
Well, did you know that...
and I'm gonna charge 50 cents for every text editor in the world, every editor.
Here's what I'm going to question on the MP3, though. If I play a game, Star Wars Jedi Outcast, well, the levels in there play music. Well, guess what format those music files are embedded into? It's .pk3, which is basically a package file for the map that those games play on. Well, in that map is an MP3 format, music for the background music for the game.
Oh, really?
How are they going to attack those people? How are they going to attack the game industry?
I don't know. If they go through with it, they're going to want to make everyone who uses it and has a player and has an encoder, they want to make them pay money.
Holy moly, they're going to be rolling in the dough.
Yeah, but that's just like British Telecom claimed they had a patent on hyperlinking. They actually just lost the case. I think that was earlier this week. But they claimed that they had a patent on hyperlinking. Well, the thing is, if you go back, and I think we talked about this on the show and we had links to it as well, back in the late 60s when they were doing the presentations at Xerox, what was that machine called, Duel, the original one they were studying, did all the stuff, and they had a GUI and mice and everything?
I don't remember.
I can't remember what it was. But anyway, they showed it, hyperlinking. You clicked on this underlined piece of text, and it opened another document. So that was, you know, prior art back in the late 60s, and British Telecom in the early 80s claimed that they invented hyperlinking. Well, that was lost. That case was lost. But, you know, we talked about this a few weeks back. The JPEG format, they were claiming, someone was claiming, I don't know if it was the Joint Photographic Expert Group, which is what JPEG stands for, they were claiming that, you know, they were going to start charging people for using JPEGs. I can remember probably back in about 98, Unisys, which now has the patent for GIF, it was originally developed by CompuServe, and somehow Unisys ended up acquiring it, but they said they were going to start charging everybody for using GIFs. Well, we came up with that site, Burn All GIFs. You know, people were really PO'd.
Yeah. You know, I invented light, by the way, so
well,
if you look at your monitor, you have to pay me money.
That's okay. I invented air.
I mean, what makes me wonder is, whatever happened to, I mean, we went for somewhere between the 60s and the 80s, whatever happened to, hey, I made JPEG for the better of, you know, being able to view things better. Hopefully somebody else will make you that same format so I can view other things in a better format. Whatever happened that, you know, just for the thought of science, everything now is, hell, can I make money off this?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And that's the whole original intention for copyright, and that's why they had a limited time, if it was 7 years or 14 years, I think was the original. And the idea was that, you know, for a period of time, the company that developed it would be able to have, you know, reap the benefit of their research and development, and then everybody else, it would go into the public domain, and everybody else could build on top of that and make things better. Well, you know, now we've got the last one was the Sonny Bono law. I think it's like life of the author plus 96 years or something. But basically, they call it the Mickey Mouse Act, because every time Mickey Mouse, which was, you know, or whatever, originally in the 30s or late 20s or whatever, every time. They're 28. So every time Mickey Mouse is just about to slip into the public domain, Disney gets all their lobbyists out and they extend the copyright, length of copyright again. When Disney actually built their legacy, built their fortune on taking all these, you know, tales from the Brothers Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen, you know, Little Mermaid, Snow White, Bam, you know, all those things, they took all that and they made those into movies. So it was okay for them to take Reach into the Public Domain.
That's right.
And it was perfectly fine, you know. You could, you know, if the three of us wanted to make a movie on, you know, Snow White, we could. You know, because that's in the public domain. But we couldn't use, obviously we can't use their characters. That's fine. Well, what they're trying to prevent happening is they, you know, you don't mess with the mouse. You don't want anyone to be able to, you know, legally use Mickey Mouse's image in something else. So they want to control that, and that's why these things keep getting extended. But it's exactly as you say, Zapper, that, you know, what happened to all that when people would take and benefit on that and build, you know, stand on the shoulders of giants, right? That even Isaac Newton said, if I see farther, it's because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. You take all that knowledge and everything else that came before and you build upon that and you extrapolate. Well, when you start locking everything down the way that it's done, you can't build shit.
Called stifling innovation.
Well, is it possible then in that question to say, for instance, with iPhones, our biggest favorite topic, is it legal for me to copyright every single pitch and tone a phone can make? That way when anybody makes a call, bam, I get money.
Ooh, that's horrible. Dude, you just gave something great. Thanks a lot, Z.
Thanks, man.
Just gave somebody a great idea. Now we're going to have to pay. We're going to pay for everything now.
And it's all Zapperlink's fault,
yeah,
folks.
That's right, yeah. It's the downfall of humanity. Thanks to Zapperlink.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Disney doesn't have a goddamn original idea in their head. All right, sorry. Sorry about that.
Do you have that out of your system now? You feel better?
Curse them, man.
But do you honestly think if someone actually truly copyrighted all the phone tones, would someone really actually go and pay for it? Or do you think it would be fought forever? Because, I mean, think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Freaking
the phone companies, you know, the old internal systems, you know how much they'd be charging every time somebody called in and all those tones that are running back and forth, right behind?
That's right. Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
the people that would get screwed over most would be the phone companies.
No, no, they wouldn't be. They'd pass it on to you and us.
Yeah, freaky. Oh, yeah. Oh,
the end users, they'd be the ones who pay, and the phone companies would still make their money.
But just think about it. Everybody would be a freak. Every person would be. Oh, they'd be dying to learn about phone freaking.
Then people would start to learn how to whistle the 2600 tone again. just like Joy Bubbles.
That's right. Yeah, that's a cool interview, by the way. Oh, dude. Hey, you know what? I think Zapperlink should be regular, man.
Yeah, this is good, man.
Yeah, you're really good on the show.
Well, thanks. I actually had other topics, so I'm sure you're entering towards the end of your show.
Yeah, we're coming up close to the end here.
What's the ending music?
Man, I don't know. You got a suggestion, Zapper? I've been so into the conversation. I'm just so enraged at everything we've been talking about.
Hey, you did very well. You did very well tonight, Rex. Quoting Isaac Newton. That is, I got goosebumps.
Yeah, well, get over it, man.
If I may, the record companies have done me well. You know, I'm out on travel, and I despise radio. Can't stand it. So I went for new music, and I actually found two CDs. One was $9.99, and one was $7.99. New music. Thankfully, they were good. You know, since I didn't get to sample them free on the internet, and then if I liked it, buy it. I bought them, and they were good. So if you want Rax, what the hell? Glassjaw, and the first one I got was Glassjaw, very good, and the other was Qurashi, Qurashi, and I was actually very pleased. And the prices, now I'm not swaying here, you know. I know that Berman is still their whore, but the prices were actually very reasonable. You know, $7.99, that's getting darn close to, you know, if there's only one good song or. You know, and it's still okay. It's still an okay price to
But just think the poor artist maybe makes, if they're lucky now, maybe they make 10 cents on that.
I don't know that.
Well,
if it sucks, I can't bring it back. And if I want to sample it in MP3 on the internet, they're going to hack my computer or send me to jail or something like that. So they're going to work that out.
It's definitely cheaper than $16, $17 nowadays for
CD. Yeah. Can you believe it? Now, that definitely warrants you testing it out. Well, we're not going to go on this whole thing. So I recommend tonight. You know what? Glassjaw. I recommend Glassjaw for tonight's ending music.
Okay. So we'll pull up something from Glassjaw here.
Right on.
Hey, guys. Zapperlink, man, that was awesome.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you so much. We're going to...
Are you guys going to be on the net later? I'll just leave this till... I guess I can stay on the line until after this is done.
Yeah, please do. Hang on the line so we can yak at you for a little bit. And again, big props from me because that was great. And another regular on the show, I would appreciate.
And let's wrapping this up. Give you guys a second to think on something there for the closing thought. But as I always like to say, keep knowledge free. Duel, what's your thought for the week?
Wash down your Subway with cold pizza.
That was very profound. How about you, Zapper?
I don't have a thought. I'm too tired to think right now.
You've actually been working, huh? That's right.
Actually, I just got off work right before I got called, so.
Hey, well, Zapper, I'll give you a hint, man. Get to drink some 180. It really lifts you up.
Oh, man, yeah, it'll lift you up shaking all night long.
Yeah, you'll just be tweaking in bed till about 3, but it's awesome stuff, man.
You'll be hacking like you wouldn't believe. Here's what your thought should be, Zapper. Check out my phone to...
Nice.
Oh, I didn't do it. Your thought should be to keep doing shows with us. That'd be great. That would be great.
I think my best one that comes to mind when I think standing outside right now is to think, don't trust your neighbor.
Oh!
Don't trust your neighbor. They could be participating in that tips program, right?
Right.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. Don't trust your neighbor.
And on that, folks, we're going to end it this week. See y'all later.